What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Today on the show, all right, it is crunch time. We need to know who you can trust. Can you trust the Packers running backs, Daryl Henderson, DK Metcalf? This week we will get the trustometer out. We're also going to look ahead to 2022. Who are the top three picks in your 2022 fantasy drafts? A lot of Jonathan Taylor and a lot of Derrick Henry, obviously, but who got the third most votes? We will find out. I also have some fantasy ethics questions. Guys, is it okay to tank to keep a team out of the playoffs to help your chances of winning?
Ethics are always such a weird thing.
Yeah.
In fantasy or in life?
Yeah. But especially in fantasy football.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's where most of the ethical conundrums
are. I think it's to be ethical in life.
Yeah.
But so, fantasy football is a game. Games involve strategies.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Also, at preview, Pittsburgh at Minnesota. Minnesota went from a team that had basically one difficult starter sit decision every week to probably three now with Cousins and then, you know, on the lower end, Osborne and Conklin. And what else? Oh, the fantasy cops. The fantasy cops are coming back.
Dynasty quarterback risers and fallers, too.
Dynasty quarterback risers and fallers. Heath said it, so now it has to happen. Let's go. Top three picks in 2022. That's what I want to start with. So I put the tweet out there, saw all the responses, did my best to figure out the top three most popular. And Jonathan Taylor, no surprise. Derrick Henry, I would say, was probably number two. Maybe a little surprising. And number three, a lot of Eckler, a lot of Cooper Kupp, who... Let's take a look at the points per game in PPR. This was a full PPR question, by the way. Points per game in PPR for the last six number one wide receivers, including Kupp this year. Antonio Brown in 2016, 20.5. Antonio Brown in 2017, 22 points per game. Devontae Adams in 2018, 21.8 points per game. It's gotten a lot better since then. Michael Thomas, 23.4 points per game in 2019. Devontae Adams blew him away, 25.7 points per game last year. And Cooper Kupp, 25.2 points per game. He's actually the highest scoring non-quarterback in fantasy and full PPR. So Kupp, I'll just give a few more names. Najee Harris, Javonte Williams got a few votes. Christian McCaffrey, Ben Schrager likes Christian McCaffrey third. Justin Jefferson and a few Jamar Chases out there as well. All right, Heath, your reaction.
My reaction was, I don't think it will be Cooper Kupp. I don't think Cooper Kupp will be the number one wide receiver next season. I kind of think with Adam Thielen out of the picture, we're just going to see 13, 14 target Justin Jefferson every week for the rest of the year, and he's probably going to be the number one wide receiver going in next year. But my top three would probably be, I assume that we are assuming everyone has 100% health heading into next year. And so if that was the case, I think it would be Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry.
All right, Dave, how about you?
I like Taylor first. I like Derrick Henry second. I'm looking for the safest stud running back to take early on. So then you get to three, and McCaffrey is a consideration, but I feel like we're going to get fooled by him again, aren't we? Look what's happened each of the last two seasons. He's been great when he plays, but doesn't even play in half the games. That makes him a little bit tricky. If I'm really feeling whoever his backup is, assuming it's Chuba Hubbard, then I would have to really commit to making sure I get Hubbard on my squad. And I don't think I'd have to spend more than an eighth round pick to get him. So he could be three. But I think if the Steelers make improvements to their offensive line and maybe to their passing game, that could help out Najee Harris and make him a more efficient running back. I think he's got the better profile to be third. Second-year running back, obviously has a great pedigree coming out of college and was a great running back in high school in California, all that stuff. Young, still hasn't gone through a significant injury yet. If those things happen, I could see myself taking Najee ahead of Christian McCaffrey.
I even think there's room to debate with Derrick Henry. I want to get into that. Just so you know, Christian McCaffrey's played 7 games this year. I'm not counting the week 3 game. He didn't play much. He didn't play. I mean, he got hurt in the first quarter.
People started him in their fantasy leagues that week.
Yeah, okay, fine. But if you just want to look at his healthy games, the games he didn't leave with an injury, he averaged well over 100 yards. I mean, he was on pace for 2,272 total yards and 112 catches in 16 games. So when he was healthy, he was Christian McCaffrey. It was really incredible. Henry, you know, we talked a lot. We have been talking a lot about kind of the artificial 50 catch thing, and very, very few running backs have finished top 5 in any format over the last 5 or 6 years with fewer than 50 catches. Taylor's on pace to do that. You have to be a workhorse. But Henry, the catches went away. You know, he had 14 catches in his first 4 games. He had 4 catches after that. And the guy was getting almost, you know, 28-ish carries per game. Right? He was on pace for 438 carries. So I don't think that he was really deserving of the number 2 pick going into this year. He would have to get either more catches, which I don't really think is going to happen, or 25-plus carries, which just seems reckless at this point. Because last year, he rushed for 2,000 yards, and I think he was the number 4 per game running back in full PPR. So I think 2 in full PPR, I know it's Derrick Henry, but I think 2 might be a little bit of a reach. I just can't really think of anyone with a better case. That's the problem.
And that's what fantasy managers are going to have to deal with, is that, okay, number 1, Jonathan Taylor. Seems like a surefire thing. Who's number 2? Crap. Because all of a sudden now we do have warts on literally every other running back that's out there. You've got to think for a second about how the Titans and Panthers are going to evolve their offenses this offseason. Are they really going to give 25 carries per game to Derrick Henry, knowing that he just had this foot injury that sidelined him for half the year and may cost the Titans a playoff spot when it's all said and done? And the Panthers would be dumb to go right back to giving Christian McCaffrey all that work that gave him all those yards, knowing that there's a very high probability that he wouldn't make it through the next season. So
Go ahead.
No. This is the problem with when we're apart like this, we are always stepping on each other. I'll wrap it up. I think that both teams are going to come up with some sort of a solution to take work off of both of these running backs. I think it's going to be easier for the Titans to do because they're finding out that Deontay Foreman can be a usable piece to their offense. And that'll help conserve that workload for Derrick Henry. I'm not sure if Chuba is the answer in Carolina, but if he is, then he's probably going to see 10 touches per game to try and work a little bit off of McCaffrey.
I was just looking because, you know, they've got the curse of 370 thing, and that's people have been referencing that with Derrick Henry again this year, and running backs who have that many touches often falling off in the following year. But most, or at least the guys I've gotten to early in the count, a lot of these guys had the fall off year, but then their team went right back to giving them the ball 400 times again later in their career. And there is something to the fact of running backs who have held up to that type of workload in the past are generally the types of running backs who get that type of workload in the future. So I don't know between McCaffrey and Henry which one of them is more likely to see the same workload they had in the past. But I haven't seen anything out of Tennessee that suggests when Derrick Henry's healthy, they're going to do anything other than give him the ball 25 times a game.
Well, that'll pretty much wrap up this discussion. Please get on the Twitter thread. Let me know your thoughts. Eckler, by the way, is number two per game. He's number three per game behind Taylor and Henry, but he's number two overall in both formats. He's got a great case and did not see any love for Alvin Kamara, but that's another name. He's still in his prime. And I just thought Eckler's year this year looks so much like an Alvin Kamara season from previous seasons. But, you know, one difference, Eckler does not share carries. They just don't run the ball very much at all. Third fewest carries in football. But
they've been so similar really since Eckler took over as the starting running back in 2019 or started seeing a bigger workload in 2019. Kamara gets a little bit more work, but Eckler's been better so much better on a per reception and per target basis. I would take Eckler over Kamara.
All right. If you want an edge setting your DFS lineups, the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast brings you all of the insights that you need to dominate DFS. Frank Stanfill, Mike McClure, Sian Ajad give you cash and GPP analysis on Tuesdays and Thursdays, deep diving into pricing and matchups. Listen to the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast wherever you listen to FFT. News and notes. Dalvin Cook was limited in practice, but we don't expect him to play, right?
Right.
Nope.
All right. We'll update you tomorrow if we have to, but as of right now, it's the Alexander Mattison show. Ryan Fitzpatrick is out for the season. That's official now. David Njoku is on the reserve COVID list, and Harrison Bryant, another tight end for the Browns, could be out as well. Any interest in Austin Hooper against the Ravens?
Minimal.
Much more if Bryant was out as well, because they're going to throw the ball a bunch to their tight ends. They just always throw it a bunch to two tight ends. If both Njoku and Harrison Bryant were out, then I think Hooper might be a borderline starter.
I used to have, where's my Hooper drops? I don't have any more Hooper drops.
You lost them.
Hooper.
Hey, Hooper. Yeah. Okay, well.
He sucked, and then the drop was embarrassed, and it deleted itself off of your computer.
I guess I didn't really need it anymore. Okay, more news.
Top 15 potential at tight end for Hooper.
Minnesota cornerback Patrick Peterson is off the reserve COVID list, so he should be playing on Thursday. Kyle Shanahan hoping that Deebo Samuel can play this week, but we don't know about the running back situation for the 49ers right now, so it could be Jamichael Hasty.
He's the only running back we're currently projecting to play.
All right. And Melvin Gordon is expected to practice this week. I'm sure we would be fine if he just, you know, took it easy, take another week.
Retired.
Let Javonte Williams get in there against Detroit.
Started a venture capitalist firm.
It would be hard to pass up Javonte Williams, at least as a top five pick next year. If
Melvin Gordon decided to swim for a living, yes.
If he's the guy. We might need to see a couple more games at the end of this season, but it'd be tough. All right, let's go to the Trustometer. I asked the people, who do you want on the Trustometer this week? Here are some of the answers. Darrell Henderson. I think this is really tough. It's tough to project what these backfields are going to be, but we'll start with Darrell Henderson. This is not going to be easy for you guys. At Arizona this week, 0 to 10 on the Trustometer.
2 this week.
I'll give him a 4 right now. I might up that to a 5 if he gets in a full practice. And I just don't think, like you said, Adam, and I wrote this in the running back preview, there's a handful, maybe 10 backfields where not only are they committees, we don't have any idea who leads the committee.
Mm, what a great time of year for this type of
It's a good time. Conundrum. Yeah, it's really helpful.
Oh, this sucks.
Like, would you put Sony Michel higher on the Trustometer, Dave?
Yes. He's healthier. He's coming off of a good game. I think the coaching staff likes what he gives them in terms of physical element to their run game. Not as explosive as Henderson, I'll admit that. But this is also a coaching staff that really doesn't seem to like committee running backs. They like one guy. Who's the healthier guy right now? Who's the one that's been doing good work lately for them? It reminds me so much of last year with Cam Akers, when the coaching staff like couldn't stop themselves from talking about Akers, and as soon as they saw some good from Cam Akers, bam, he was in as their main running back.
That's a good point, but I think it's only been one game for Michelle. You know,
that's all it took for Cam Akers. It took less than one game for Cam Akers.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Chuba Hubbard, 0 to 10. I think I'm going to speak for everyone. You can correct me. When it comes to the fantasy playoffs against the Bills, Bucks, and Saints, we have very little trust. It's maybe a one in Chuba Hubbard. So let's do just this week against Atlanta. The first time he faced Atlanta, 24 carries, 82 yards, and a touchdown with one catch. The Falcons, on a per-carry basis, have a solid run defense, but they do give up a lot of receiving yards. They give up a lot of fantasy points, and it could be a good game script for Hubbard. So unless you disagree with me about the playoffs thing, let's just go to this week. Trust-o-meter for Chuba Hubbard against Atlanta. Dave.
I've got him in the flex range, so I'll put him at a six. I'm okay using him, thinking that he's got a shot at 15 touches in the game, but this offense might evolve quite a bit and be much more conservative, run-centric, Cam Newton-centric, and certainly you've got to worry about Chuba Hubbard on passing downs and at the goal line. So he could be a running back that just gives you yardage and that's it. Not loving it.
We are, our trustometers are, there is zero calibration between them, because I don't really disagree with the words that Dave said, but I was going to say two.
What did Dave say? What was their number, Dave?
Dave said six.
Six.
Okay.
I've got him as a low end flex. I would prefer to start Ameer Abdullah over Chuba Hubbard, just because this offense, the main thing for the running backs has been all the passing work over the past several years. And Ameer Abdullah is the passing downs back, I think. And he's played more snaps than Chuba Hubbard basically every game since week 8 or week 9, or the same number.
But is that with McCaffrey, though?
Most of it was.
Right. So he's going to have, we think, but Hubbard's going to out carry Ameer Abdullah, right?
I think that.
You're not convinced.
I'm not sure he's going to out-carry Cam Newton.
What are the odds that the Falcons build a lead on the Panthers? I mean, it's possible, right? This isn't exactly a game of one dominant team and one limp team.
Two limp teams.
Yeah. So I think there's a chance that if the Falcons build a lead, Carolina could say, all right, Ameer, we're chasing points here. You've got to play. That's what happened the last time the Panthers played. McCaffrey got hurt. They fell behind. And it was 2/3 of the snaps to Abdullah, the rest of Chuba Hubbard after McCaffrey got hurt.
Okay, so what? Right. I mean, if it's a bad game script, then you're screwed. But would you start, if Melvin Gordon plays, would you start a Broncos running back over Chuba Hubbard?
Yes. Both over both. I would go Javonte, Melvin, Abdullah, Hubbard.
Would you start Tony Pollard at Washington over Chuba Hubbard?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go to...
We need to recalibrate the trustometer.
Yeah, probably. You know what else you need to recalibrate? You need to recalibrate how you're going to go about sending stuff out during this holiday season. I actually have to go to the post office today, and I went to the post office yesterday, but it had a long line, so I'm going to go give it another shot today. But if I were doing this for a living, if I had a small business, or if I were an online seller or something like that, I'd be using stamps.com. And actually, a year ago, I actually did use stamps.com to send out a lot of things during this time of year. It is so helpful during holiday season. And really, for small businesses, it is so helpful all year long. Now, you love the post office. They do a lot of great things for you. But when you're selling online, Stamps.com can save you so much time, money, and stress during the holidays, because you can do all the things that you do at the post office, but right from home. Going to the post office instead of using Stamps.com, that's like taking the stairs instead of the elevator. You're just going up a couple floors, sure, take the stairs. If you're walking up 30 flights a day, you could use a break. So if you spend more than a few minutes a week dealing with mail and shipping, Stamps.com is a lifesaver. You will save so much time and so much money, and you will wonder why you didn't do it sooner. Stamps.com lets you compare rates, print labels, access exclusive discounts on UPS and USPS services all year long. It just makes sense, especially if you're sending out more stuff right now, more mail, more packages during the holidays. I think it's really geared for small businesses and for people who do online selling, but really, I encourage you just to take a look. Even if you're just, you know, like me at home, sending stuff out this time of year, it's a great, great service. Save time and money this holiday season with Stamps.com. Sign up with the promo code FFT for a special offer. It includes, and this is an amazing offer, a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code FFT. Back to the Trust-O-Meter. James Robinson.
He's, oh boy,
at Tennessee this week. They are third best against running backs. They actually second. They're tied for second best, fewest fantasy points allowed. Usually they give up good games to good running backs, including Robinson, who tore them apart earlier this year. But it's hard to trust Omid or James Robinson right now. Heath, where are you at on him?
I'm going to go five. Borderline number two running back who has top 10 upside every single week. I'm hoping for a little bit of a squeaky wheel effect here. I know Urban Meyer doesn't handle the substitutions in game, but maybe he could tell his running backs coach that, hey, let's play the better running back more than the not so good running back, especially since everybody's talking about it and making fun of me. I'm hopeful that Robinson sees a little bit bigger workload this week, and the upside, unlike with someone like Chuba Hubbard, at least for me, is higher. So I'm going to trust him a little bit more.
I've got him as a bottom of the barrel RB2, and I don't know what to make of this ridiculous Jaguars decision making when it comes to how they use their running backs.
I'm sorry, guys. I think it's pretty obvious to me. It's health. It is. Okay. We can criticize all we want, but
yeah,
he said as much. He said that Urban Meyer said that it was a health reason. That's okay. Why he was limited.
But that's not that was not true.
Right. Like your first mistake is believing Urban Meyer.
No, they benched him for 20 snaps right after he fumbled, and then they played him late in the fourth quarter of a blowout.
All right, the timing
that has nothing to do with health.
No, it does. Okay, the timing.
Why would they put him back in the game?
They shouldn't have. They shouldn't have. I get that. But if he had been fully healthy, he would have gotten a normal workload. That's my point.
Okay, but it has been 2 weeks in a row that he has fumbled and then sat out for 15-plus snaps.
I think if he were fully healthy, he would have got that. Reading the in between the lines of the quotes, if you were fully healthy, you would have gotten a normal workload. That's how I.
And they just happened to rest him right after he fumbled both weeks.
I think he specifically said. I think Urban Meyer specifically said that he didn't get benched for fumbling.
He said he didn't know because he doesn't make those decisions.
All right, I'm gonna.
Or look. He does, and he just didn't want to admit to making that decision because it was a dumb decision. Taking literally the best player of your offense off the field for fumbling. And maybe there's a point to it. If he's fumbled in consecutive games, you want to try and, you know, send a message.
It was his only two fumbles of the season.
It's just such a, I don't know. I'm going to stop myself.
Okay. So James Robinson or...
stuff I don't want to say. Or
same game, Robinson or Deontay Foreman?
I've got Robinson. Foreman higher.
Robinson.
I'll take Foreman.
Robinson for Heath, Foreman for Dave. Okay, next up, Elijah Moore. Trustometer. Ah, man, you keep messing with my head because I don't know if I'm supposed to say trustometer or trustometer at this point. Trustometer.
The same bit for 10 years.
Yeah, but I forgot which side I'm on.
10.
10 on Elijah Moore for Heath.
Must start. Should not be on the trustometer.
Agreed.
Okay, I'm going to tell you though, he's got a 50% catch rate in his last two games with Zach Wilson. 5.75 yards per target, 6.42 yards per target. Does that sound like a guy who shouldn't be on the trustometer?
Only if he's getting double-digit targets every week, and he is.
He's not. He got 8 2 weeks ago. He got 12 last week.
24 passes. If you think the Jets might throw 24 passes against the Saints, then you could have a little bit of concern for Elijah Moore.
Okay, fine. Start him. Julio Jones against Jacksonville.
Probably in that same 6 range. Assuming that he practices all week, he's good to go. It's a great matchup. I just don't know how much passing they're going to do.
Yeah, I'd go 4.5 because I think I'd flex James Robinson over him. But everybody else before Elijah Moore, I would start Julio over.
Okay. Do we know if he's playing this week?
No. We don't yet.
All right. We
know he's been designated to return. Usually when a player gets designated to return, he plays that following game. They're that week's game. I don't want to make it sound like he's not going to play this week.
Three of his next four games are against teams that rank 23rd or worse against wide receivers. So on paper, it's a good schedule for Julio Jones.
And I mentioned this on yesterday's FFT episode. I did more research on him after our podcast because I wasn't really high on him during the podcast. He's been their most explosive receiver this year. It's been crazy. He's had an explosive play, basically one every four catches, technically a little bit better than that. It's just a matter of getting enough targets. This is a Titans offense that does love to run the football. Everybody knows that. Their pass run ratio is fourth lowest in terms of passes this year. It's ninth lowest since the Derrick Henry injury. So they're really trying to stick to it. If he gets eight targets, he's got a shot at six catches. If you give Julio Jones six catches at the rate that he was playing at before the injury, he's got a shot to be a very useful high-end number three receiver in PPR with a chance to finish as a top 12 guy. So he's not somebody that people should just completely ignore. A good bench receiver at this point with the chance to be a starter.
Yeah, he's Julio Jones, man. Come on, he's Julio Jones. Give him a little,
I hate saying that because he's because he's an older version of Julio Jones. He's not even the same. He's not necessarily the same guy that he was late last year.
On a per target and per catch basis, he's the same guy he's ever been. He's just not been
this
able to stay healthy enough
or
to get
over the last 2 years.
This year, he's averaging over 10 yards per target and over 15 yards per reception. I think he's been better both on a per target and per catch basis this year than his career averages. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy and hasn't seen the same number of targets. Yes, 15.2 yards per catch for his career, 16.0 this year. Mm-hmm. 9.8 yards per target for his career, 10.8 this year. His catch rate's higher this year than his career.
Yeah, so the biggest difference, honestly, isn't that he's a year older or that he's coming off of an injury. It's that he's on a team that doesn't throw like crazy like the Falcons did.
Well, but he is now on a team that this is going to be the first time, if he can play, that he plays without Derrick Henry, who was getting 28 carries a game, basically. So, and no A.J. Brown. It's a great setup. All right, let's go one more here. Let's do, you tell me, should we do Marquise Brown, Packers running backs, Amari Cooper, or DK Metcalf?
I think we could do them all very quickly. Metcalf and Brown are in the same boat. I'd say they're about a 7 on the trust ometer. I don't know what I just said. Amari Cooper's a notch below, if not two notches below. And I haven't dug into the Packers running backs yet, but I would imagine both are going to be in that 7 range as well. I think they can both have a good game against Chicago.
You trust DK more than Amari Cooper?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think I do. I'd probably put Cooper at a 6 and DK at a 5.
Does that mean you're starting Cooper ahead of Metcalf?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't think DK Metcalf's a must-start wide receiver.
Mm. I hate it. I hate even considering that.
Right.
I know he should be, but somebody was so proud of themselves because we were having the Elijah Moore DK Metcalf discussion last week, and they sent me the screenshot today. They started Elijah Moore over DK Metcalf, and they won their matchup because of the difference in their production.
That's cool.
Great. That's a great, great feeling.
I wouldn't have done it. I know Heath would have, so well done. It's not about my team, but just I have one team with DK Metcalf, and I don't know how I could sit. The guys I would sit him for on a weekly basis would be Odell Beckham, Devontae Smith. I mean, I have good receivers. I have Evans, Metcalf, Marquise Brown, and Chase Claypool, Beckham and Devontae Smith. I guess my point is you got to be loaded at wide receiver or just in a two receiver league to think about sitting DK Metcalf.
Like, mm-hmm. Right. Or you could, there are some guys that I would start over him that have emerged this year that you might not, but you could pretty easily have Hunter Renfrow and Elijah Moore and Tyler Lockett and not be starting DK Metcalf,
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it for the Trust-O-Meter. Yeah, I'm Trust-O-Meter. I think I'm Team Trust-O-Meter. We're going to take a break, very quick break, and when we come back, I think this Thursday night game is pretty damn interesting from a fantasy standpoint. Pittsburgh
Ooh,
at...
cursing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Ooh. Pittsburgh at Minnesota.
You guys should have heard Adam before the show.
Were you on for that?
Oh, yeah.
I was cursing before the show?
Like a madman.
Yep.
Like a sailor.
I was a little bit, but I think that was before you came on.
Oh, you said the worst curse word in the book. Yeah. And oh, Dave said, you've got a mic in front of you. We couldn't believe you said it. My ears are still burning just a little bit.
All right, you're gonna have to slack me and tell me what I said. All right, we'll take a break.
You don't even know.
No, I don't remember.
Your poor kids are gonna be cursing by the time they're 5.
Pittsburgh at Minnesota when we come back.
Let's go! It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
And we are bleeping back here on Fantasy Football Today. All right, stat of the game for Steelers at Vikings. KJ Osborne, 8% rostered as of Wednesday morning. He has scored, I'm going decimal scoring here, 14.6 or more PPR fantasy points in 4 of 5 games in which he has had 6 to 9 targets. He's only had five games with more than 5 targets. He's never had more than 9. And he's come through with a startable game in 4 of those 5 games. He's had 76 or more yards in 3 of those 5 games. He's had a touchdown in 3 of those 5 games. So he's been, a guy that if you could guarantee me 6 to 9 targets, I'm starting him in a 3-receiver league. But, there have been 16 wide receivers with 6 to 9 targets against Pittsburgh. And nice. only 6 of them have scored 14 or more PPR fantasy points. So, good production on one end, tough matchup on the other in that regard.
Yep. Same problem that Tyler Conklin's got. Technically the same problem that Justin Jefferson has, but I don't think anybody's thinking about,
I'm sitting Jefferson.
Yeah, sure you are.
For Osborne.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what do you think?
The only concern I have with Osborne and that 6 to 9 target stat, which is a good one. Best use of Azer stats. is that most of those, I believe, those targets came with both Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen on the field. In fact, I think probably most of them came with Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and Dalvin Cook on the field. In the passing game, he might be the Steelers' second priority to take away. So I do think it will be a little more difficult. I wouldn't expect quite as good efficiency, but he's a fine flex this week.
I agree. You saw it last week in the last 3 quarters. Thielen got hurt early on in the game. So just looking at strictly the second, third, and fourth quarters where Thielen wasn't on, the Vikings had to make changes on the fly. Osborne played a ton, had 5 targets, scored the touchdown, had 2 end zone targets, same as Justin Jefferson, 1 more than Tyler Conklin. And he looked fine. I think you're okay with him as a flex. I think Heath said it best. And the fact that he's still out there makes him someone that fantasy managers could gravitate toward if they really have an unlikable receiver currently in their lineup.
And I think if you look at that game in comparison to the other ones, he had 9 targets against the Bengals, averaged 8.4 yards per target. 6 targets against Arizona, averaged 15 yards per target. 7 targets against Carolina, a very good defense, average 11 yards per target. Last week against the Lions with no Thielen, 6.7 yards per target.
Okay. So would you start Osborne or Chase Claypool?
Claypool.
I believe I currently have Claypool ranked higher. I'm not sure if I want to commit to Claypool over Osborne, though.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. And by the way, we're not really going to talk about Alexander Mattison or Najee Harris. If we get any news that Dalvin Cook might play, then we can update this on Thursday. But as of right now, Mattison and Harris are no-brainer starts. Same with Deontay Johnson. Same with Justin Jefferson. But let's talk about first Roethlisberger. And I think to me, whenever you're looking at Roethlisberger and Claypool, you have to ask how many points are the Steelers going to give up? What's the game script? How many passes is Roethlisberger going to throw? Because he throws much more often. He's thrown 40 or more passes in 6 games, and they're 1 in 5 in those games. And he's thrown 34 or fewer passes in 5 wins, and they're 5-0, or they're 4-0-1, or whatever it might be. I think they're 5-0.
Yeah. You can't.
Oh, he missed one. He missed the tie. He missed the tie. That's right.
The problem with that is we obviously don't know going into a game, especially with a team like Pittsburgh against a team like Minnesota, what the game script's going to be. These teams are all over the place. But they're 3-point underdogs on the road, which basically tells you that Vegas thinks these teams are even. And so far, the bettors haven't disagreed. I've got him projected for 39 pass attempts.
That'd be good. That'd be good for Claypool.
Be good for Claypool. And I've got Claypool as a high-end number 3 wide receiver.
Okay. I think that's right about where we should have him. I don't like that he had 3 targets last week, but I'm choosing to ignore it. I don't think that that's necessarily what has happened here to Claypool. What has happened to Claypool is that he's become an afterthought in the red zone, when it comes to targets and work and all that ever since Pat Freiermuth became a thing. Freiermuth has kind of dominated him in terms of all kinds of stats. He's got one more end zone target than Claypool. Claypool is now third on the Steelers since Freiermuth week six became a factor in the offense. He's third on the Steelers in red zone targets with 8, red zone catches with 3, no touchdowns since Pat Freiermuth became Pat Freiermuth, and Freiermuth has like sucked up all the touchdowns since he's come into play. I think if you're starting Claypool, you can't count on him to score. He's barely done that. You need target volume. I think he bounces back there. Could he get you 5 for 80? Yeah, I think that's his range. I think that's really where you should put him at, and that's the high-end flex range that you're talking about, Heath.
Captain regression pants here. But if a guy has 8 targets in the red zone and has not scored on them or has 1 touchdown on them, then I just think he's getting opportunities. He's probably going to score. I mean, he scored 1 touchdown on 72 targets. Last year, he scored 9 on 109. Neither of those are sustainable over a long portion of time. We knew coming into this year, he wasn't going to score like he did last year because nobody scores at that rate. And he's not going to keep scoring once every 72 targets.
Okay.
I agree with all that. Is this the week where he catches a touchdown?
I hope so.
Right,
hey guys, 50-50.
Listen, so we've
been saying that since week 6 and it hasn't happened.
I'm just going to level with you guys and level with all the listeners right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just got a text. Wife's not feeling so well right now, so I don't have that much time. And I think, Dave, you have to leave in like 15 minutes or something like that.
Sure.
So I, unfortunately, I know people hate when I do this, but I really do have to shorten this show a little bit today. So we're going to go a little bit quicker through the starts and the sits. I got to go watch my kids. So I apologize for that, but unexpected. Let's go.
Do you need to go, Heath? And
no,
I can
polish this off. It's okay. I'm good for 15
minutes.
Are you
sure?
Yep. Let's go. So
blowing off the wife.
Hey, shush. Okay. You're hurting now. All right, Claypool or Marquise Brown?
Brown. Brown's a top 20 receiver.
Claypool or Gallup?
Claypool.
All right, let's talk Ben Roethlisberger here. You guys have him, I think, around like 15th, 17th, something like that. What do you feel about Roethlisberger?
Mid-range QB2 with low-end QB1 upside.
Yeah, that's how I feel about him, although I think I have him ranked higher than you, Heath. I like that he's given us 20-plus fantasy points in 3 of his last 4 games. I like that the Vikings don't put a lot of pressure on the quarterback because they're missing their best pass rushers. I don't like that they're getting healthy in the back 7. Patrick Peterson's off the COVID list. It looks like both linebackers, Barr and Kendricks, will play in the game. Roethlisberger is an okay start if you're streaming. Obviously, Taysom Hill way ahead of him.
I'm starting Roethlisberger. I dropped Derek Carr for Roethlisberger this week. So
I like that. I would start Cam ahead of Big Ben.
Yeah, I know you guys have Taysom and Cam ahead of him. Heinicke or Roethlisberger?
I haven't taken a deep dive onto Heinicke yet, but I'll say Roethlisberger.
All right, then what about Kirk Cousins? Would you start Taysom Hill or Kirk Cousins?
I'd start Hill.
Hill.
Yeah, I think you guys
have the matchup against the Jets. It's just a huge swing there. Big difference.
Cousins or struggling Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes?
Both of the good quarterbacks. Yes.
The good quarterbacks. Cousins has been top 12
quarterback
this
year. Cousins has been
a very good quarterback. I'm sorry.
Yeah, multiple touchdowns. I think it's 4 straight games. Might be 5 straight games at this point. I think it's 5. And he's been okay, but this is a Steelers defense that should get after him. They're going to play a ton of zone. That usually makes it a little bit harder on Cousins. And he doesn't have his security blankie and Thielen. It's going to make a difference.
That's a good point. Wilson or Cousins?
I've got Cousins ahead of Wilson.
Cousins.
Okay, and how about the tight ends? Who do you like better?
Conklin.
Freiermuth.
Heath, not a big Freiermuth guy this week.
No, I'm not. And again, it comes back to the touchdown regression, and I know this irritates people, but he catches 4 passes for 30 or 40 yards every week, and you're just praying for a touchdown. And Ben Roethlisberger's thrown basically 1.5 touchdowns per game this season. I know that Freiermuth has caught 40% of those touchdowns. I don't think that's going to continue. Just like I said, I don't think Chase Claypool is not going to score any more touchdowns. I don't think Pat Freiermuth is going to score all the touchdowns.
I think Freiermuth has a better chance to score a touchdown than Claypool. I think he's got a better chance to score a touchdown than Conklin for sure. Conklin might have more catches. I'll concede that. They could both end up, if let's put it this way. I think they could tie in PPR fantasy points this week pretty easily. I just like the guy who's been catching touchdowns and seems to be an important part of the red zone offense better. But I talked about how Osborne saw a bump in targets, obviously, after Adam Thielen got hurt. Conklin saw the biggest bump. He saw the most targets last week. But this is a Steelers defense that does a great job, not just this year, but historically, limiting tight ends. I have a hard time believing that Tyler Conklin is going to put up numbers against the Steelers D.
All right, let's do some rankings then. Dalton Schultz or a tight end in this game?
Freiermuth.
Schultz.
Kyle Pitts or a tight end in this game?
Freiermuth.
Conklin.
Zach Ertz or a tight end in this game?
Conklin.
Freiermuth.
Okay. All right. I think you guys have made your point there.
We could not be more far apart on Pat Freiermuth. I think Dave has him like sixth.
Yeah, and you have him somewhere around 15th or so.
Right.
All right. The DSTs, on the DSTs. All right. And that, Dave, that is it for Thursday Night Football. All right, let's talk Week 14 ethics. I'm going to fire away with a few questions. Is it okay to tank to keep a team out of the playoffs?
Define tank.
Yeah, so you're in the playoffs. There's another the team you're playing. If they win, that will keep another team that you feel is stronger out of the playoffs. And I get this question all the time. In fact, this was a big debate that we had at the end of Monday's show. So you tank, you lose, you start a player on a bye or you know, make bad lineup decisions on purpose in order to prevent another team from getting in the playoffs that you feel is stiffer competition. Is that okay?
Not playing players on a bye, not playing players who are injured. If you want to waste roster spots to roster bad players and start them, that's fine as long as you expect them to play, in my opinion.
I agree, although I could also see an argument for allowing somebody to play injured players or player on bye for 1 week. I know that it's bad form and I know it's ugly and you'd hate for it to happen to you, but we're all adults here. We know what we're doing with our fantasy teams. If you've got the best seed that you could possibly get and this week doesn't matter to you and you really think it's going to help you by keeping another team out of the playoffs, or if you just feel like being a real jerk, you could do it, but I think Heath's way is the better way. Start players who are going to start Devontae Booker, start Jarrett Patterson, start Marquise Goodwin, start guys who are going to play but aren't necessarily going to put up big numbers.
And also, like, make sure that you don't believe in karma.
That's a good point, yeah.
Because you're going to lose to that team that you're letting into the playoffs. And make sure that you don't value friendships. Because this could put a real danger on a friendship if you're absolutely keeping one of your friends out of the playoffs by not starting players. It's like, seriously.
Yeah.
At bare minimum, you should be prepared to buy somebody beers.
Now, someone wrote in and said, hey, I've already clinched a spot. I've already clinched a spot. This week is meaningless for me. Can I start Nick Folk instead of dropping someone to pick up another kicker? I can't say no to that. How can I say no? You have to start.
I agree. That's totally different.
Right. Okay. What if you call or text or communicate somehow with another member in your league who hasn't been setting his lineup and say, hey, set your lineup this week. Because this person is playing someone that you want him to be competitive against, whatever. You need a little help.
100% have done that.
Fair game.
Fair game. Okay.
Absolutely. You're not setting the lineup for that person. You're saying, hey, dude who's been sleeping forever. Wake up. I almost cursed.
You said doo-doo, by the way. Right. Didn't it sound like doo-doo there? Dude who's been sleeping forever?
But dude who's been sleeping.
Yeah, Dave said doo-doo.
Okay, I said doo-doo. But yeah, you can do that. And I have done that.
All right, Heath, give me a dynasty riser quarterback and a dynasty faller quarterback.
Top two risers for this year, Tua Tagovailoa and Mac Jones. Tua was QB 17 at the beginning of the season. He's up to QB 12 now. Mac Jones, I had at QB 25 at the beginning of the season. He's up to QB 17 now. And I think he'll probably stay in that QB 2 range. I'm not sure he has the upside to ever be like a top 12 dynasty quarterback, but he's moving that direction. The biggest faller, and I don't even know if he matters anymore, but the biggest faller was definitely Sam Darnold. I had some hope that he might be good for fantasy at some point just 3 months ago, and that hope has been dashed. And another faller, I dropped Zach Wilson a few spots. He is now behind both Tua and Mac Jones, and he was ahead of both of them coming into the season.
Schrager, let's do a quick YouTube poll. Dynasty League, Zach Wilson or Mac Jones? Let's see what the people say. We'll keep it up there for a little while and see, let you know at the end of the show.
I kind of like Tua in that poll as well. I'm going to run that poll on Twitter right now. Tua, right. Mac Jones, and...
I was going to ask you, how much time do you think Tua has bought himself?
I think he's played well enough that even if the Dolphins decide they want to make a splash this offseason, he gets another shot to start somewhere.
Agreed. Do you think he's got as many years in front of him as Wilson and Mac Jones?
I don't know about Mac Jones because Mac Jones might have 15, but I don't know if he would ever be a great fantasy quarterback during that 15. So I don't know that it's relevant. If I don't think he has the upside that Tua does. As far as Zach Wilson, I think Tua's leash should be longer than Zach Wilson's at this point. He's been a good quarterback.
We're really worried about time here. I mean, they're all so young.
They are young, but I'm also worried about patience and whether or not a coaching staff says, all right, I've seen enough, I'm moving on. I know for sure Zach Wilson's going to be the starting quarterback for the Jets next year. I agree with you, Heath. I think Mac Jones has a chance to be the starter for the Patriots for at least the next 2 years, if not the next 15 years. Tua, I think he's still going to be the guy in Miami, and if not Miami, then somewhere else. But, man, even if he gets traded or moves on to another team, I can't say for sure he's going to be a starter by November of 2022.
Wow. All right. Poll results so far. Only 53 votes. 49% Mac Jones, 43% Tua, 8% Zach Wilson. Really interesting. Ooh. Because, you know, Wilson has more tools, I would say, than Mac Jones.
Yeah. And the tools will improve.
Like, Zach Wilson was never as good of a prospect as Tua was pre-injury, right?
No,
not for me,
but neither was Joe Burrow or Justin. Nobody, very few were, you know,
right.
Tua was elite. True. All right. Let's,
and by the way, if the Patriots add some weapons for Mac Jones, he could be a startable fantasy quarterback.
All right. Let's read your questions from Gambino Mafia on Apple Podcasts. Start two in PPR, Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper, Darnell Mooney.
I'm sitting. Go ahead, Heath.
Sit Cooper.
I think I'm seeing Cooper as well.
Pick a tight end if Waller is out. Conklin, or we're not going to go with Conklin because you don't want to destroy any chance you have of getting Waller on Sunday. So Moreau, Ingram, or Kmet if Waller's out.
If you've got Waller and Moreau, I think you're covered.
Okay.
Even in a tough matchup.
Is the Giants game the same time as the Raiders? Because if it was, I would choose Ingram over Moreau.
Giants are at 4. No, Chiefs are at 1. Raiders at Chiefs is at 1.
Well, but if that game's at 1, you can still do it because the Giants play at 4.
Right.
But I would still go with a Raiders tight end over Evan Ingram.
All right. From Devin, emails here, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Dear clever group of four name. I'll go. Peter, Ray, Egon, and Winston. Start 2 in PPO.
Is that New Girl?
Yeah, New Girl.
My wife watches that.
Yeah. Were you being serious?
100%, yeah.
Because I said Winston, you heard New Girl? It was obviously the Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Egon. Okay. I said Egon.
I didn't hear you say Egon.
Wait a minute. You're not trolling him, Heath?
No. I heard Winston and
I thought you were trolling him the whole time.
Me too. And I was like, wait a second. He's serious. All right. Start 2 in PPR. Or 2 wide receivers and a flex. McLaurin, Lockett, Mike Williams, James Conner, David Montgomery.
There's a lot of names, sir.
We don't have enough information.
All right, let's say Chase Edmonds plays and Keenan Allen doesn't. So pick 2 wide receivers, McLaurin, Lockett, Mike Williams.
Williams and Lockett.
McLaurin and Lockett.
And now a flex. Other wide receiver, James Conner, David Montgomery.
Montgomery, if Edmonds is back.
Fair.
Mark,
Conner otherwise.
Mark from somewhere between Los Angeles and the Mexico border.
San Diego.
San Diego.
Dear Peyton, Ben, Tom, and
Wales.
Joe.
Oh, never mind.
Peyton, Ben, Tom, and Joe.
Beatles.
Yes. New Girl. I have my first ever dynasty draft coming up. It's going to be an auction, salary cap draft, we call them, followed by a three-round rookie draft in snake form. How do you approach dynasty auction drafts?
I think the very first thing you have to decide is whether you're playing for this year or if you want to sit out this year, because it will affect your strategy. I would like to get young wide receivers would be my goal if I'm going to just play for the long term. But if I'm playing for this year, I might go young running backs and older wide receivers.
I always play for now in a startup because there are too many other managers that are playing into the future, and you get great bargains, both in drafts and salary caps with older players. And then you just have to manage the team a little bit more and keep cultivating it and finding younger players. And then you eventually fall into a win. It doesn't necessarily happen the first year, but I think you put yourself in better position if you try to win first instead of, you know, not.
But don't have a plan of what you're going to do, but don't force it.
Sure.
It may be that the league goes now heavy, be ready to pivot. But by the time you get to the middle, you should be able to look at your roster and say, okay, this is the direction I'm going. Now these are the guys that I'm targeting.
All right, guys, rapid fire. Here we go. Ready?
Okay.
Which DST are you going with? From Matthew. Titans against the Jaguars, Chargers against the Giants, Seahawks at Houston.
Titans. Seahawks right behind them.
I think I have the Giants the highest, or the team playing the Giants the highest.
Yes, the Chargers. Okay, and then this is going to be the quickest version of the Fantasy Cops. But here we go. I think this is a layup, but you tell me. From Drew in Australia. No time for the accent. I'm in year two of a 14-team dynasty league. Despite having the year from hell with the most points scored against me, I am going to make the playoffs as the final seed, based largely on the waiver advice on this show. Oh, thank you. Wow. Our league was set up last year to have a 13-week regular season where every team plays each other once and then a three-week playoff from weeks 14 through 16. Six teams make the playoffs and the top two seeds have a bye in the first week of the playoffs. All right, pretty standard stuff. But, of course, week 14, you know, the playoffs are supposed to start. I realized this a few weeks ago when looking ahead to my potential playoff matchup. As it turns out, I was locked into playing my brother in the first week of the playoffs. And while he has a stronger team than me, on this week he had multiple players on bye. So I thought it might work out in my favor. We just finished the final week of the regular season this week. But before the commissioner formally announced the playoff matchup, someone complained about the fact that he was going to have players on bye in week 14. Someone else said they should add a week onto the regular season. And with no vote or further discussion, the commissioner added an extra regular season week on the site and delayed the playoffs a week. I'm furious. I feel that even though the initial setup was flawed, you can't change the rules during the season, particularly after the scheduled end of the regular season. People might have made trades and pickups based on the fact that there were teams on bye in the final week of the season. It also takes my team from being in the playoffs to potentially missing the playoffs. Do you think I should quit the league?
A lot of people are doing this right now. Mm-hmm. I've seen multiple people talk about how do I change my schedule, and there should have been a vote. I don't think I'd probably quit the league over this.
No. But you need to make sure the commissioner's on the game with the schedule moving forward.
Yeah, I think, he obviously starters. Should have been handled better, but you cannot have the fantasy playoffs start this week. You absolutely can't.
You can't. It's just not a good idea.
It's a terrible idea, and it's against everything we stand for.
I have a league where the playoffs are starting this week.
Scott Fishbowl?
No. FFPC playoffs started last week, and that's for... the thing is, what if people say they drafted differently, didn't draft week 14 players because they knew the playoffs started this week?
It goes against everything we've ever done in fantasy football.
Except
having players on a bye.
Changing the rules in week 13 goes against everything that we stand
it's
for.
Not ideal. I personally think that it sucks, but what would suck even more is the playoffs starting this week. The lesser of two evils is starting them next week and moving it back a week. That's what I think. I'm good with it.
Should there be any built-in advantage to the teams that would have clinched a playoff spot this week? For example, do you spot those teams? Like our emailer seems 10 points.
No, all right. So I wrapped up my thoughts. I need you to do the same.
It sucks. Complain. write a strongly worded message on the message board, go win the damn league.
I love it. All right. I'm sorry to cut everything off. Thank you for understanding, everybody. For Dave and Heath, I am Adam. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.